Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was killed by the RUC in 1973, has been raised in the Dáil. A police officer required stitches to his leg after he was stabbed while responding to a call in Derry this morning. A pedestrian was hospitalised following a collision in Ballybuffet yesterday, and Noel Cunningham says he is thankful the outcome wasn't worse after his car collided with a deer near Glenties yesterday. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have the latest sports news at around 15:15, and that will be followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first, the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was killed by the RUC in 1973, has been raised in the Dáil. The 24-year-old died near the Donegal-Fermanagh border. A fresh inquest was sought last year after new evidence in the case emerged. Deputy Pearse Doherty was speaking to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Helen McEntee, in light of new legacy frameworks being introduced.
50 years for the truth about how Michael was killed by the RUC in the Donegal-Fermanagh border in 1973. Now, new evidence contradicts the original account and raises serious questions. We now have a change in landscape in Britain. The old Legacy Act has been dismantled and a new legacy structures are being put in place. Minister, in light of these developments, have you raised Michael Leonard's case with the British government, and or do you intend to raise it in a timely fashion?
In response, Minister McEntee said once the new reforms are implemented, Michael's case will be independently assessed.
The case of the person in question, Michael, and the family's desire for answers has been raised on a number of occasions at ministerial level with the UK government. Following new evidence unearthed, as you've mentioned, since the dismissal of the initial inquest in 1973, the Attorney General for Northern Ireland ordered a fresh inquest into the person in question's death on the 30th of April 2024. Unfortunately, this new inquest was never commenced due to the UK Legacy Act introduced in May of 2024. The Joint Framework on Legacy, which was announced just this September 19th by two governments, fundamentally reforms the 23 UK Legacy Act. It aims to provide a pathway to truth and accountability and, to the extent possible, justice for those most affected by the violence of the Troubles. It lifts the ban on inquests and provides a way forward for those inquests, such as the inquest of Michael, which was ordered but not commenced before the 23rd Act. Once the implementing UK legislation has been passed and enacted, Michael's question, the person in question or Michael's case will be independently assessed by the UK Solicitor General to consider whether it would be most appropriately dealt with by the Reformed Legacy Commission or via the coronial system. The assessment will be carried out on the basis of specific criteria set out in legislation, including the views of families and the next of kin.
A police officer required stitches to his leg after he was stabbed while responding to a call in Derry this morning. Three other officers and a custody detention officer were also assaulted during the course of apprehending two aggressive males who have been arrested on suspicion of a number of offences, including attempted murder. Ryan Brawley reports.
During the early hours of this morning, police were conducting inquiries in relation to a wanted person in the Collin area of the city. One officer was speaking with a man at the property when he became aggressive, swinging out at him and striking him to his face, resulting in a bloodied nose. Police attempted to arrest the suspect inside the flat, and due to his violent actions already demonstrated, it was necessary to deploy Pava spray. The suspect refused to show his hands and subsequently produced a knife and attempted to stab an officer to his torso. While the 21-year-old suspect was being detained, an officer suffered a stab wound to the leg, causing a laceration that required stitches in hospital. He was subsequently arrested on suspicion of a number of offences. Officers entered the kitchen area of the flat and located another man who was wanted by police in relation to breach of bail. When police attempted to speak with the 20-year-old, he struck out at two officers with his hand. Once detained, he spat on an officer's glasses and was arrested on suspicion of a number of offences. When taken to custody, he spat again at an officer and assaulted a custody detention officer as he was taken to his cell. Following a search of the property, a number of Class A, B and C drugs were also located and have now been removed for a forensic examination.
Deputy Chief Constable Bobby Singleton says the situation could have been even worse.
I'm very conscious that the outcome of this incident could have been very different. At least one of the officers avoided serious injury, if not a fatal injury, thanks to their body armour. As well as the criminal investigation, our focus is now on supporting the officers, the staff member and their families through what will obviously be an incredibly difficult number of hours.
A pedestrian was hospitalised following a collision in Ballybuffet yesterday evening. It happened on Main Street at approximately 25 past 7. The man in his 60s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Noel Cunningham says he is thankful the outcome wasn't worse after his car collided with a deer near Glenties yesterday. There have long been calls for deer to be culled across Donegal due to the high number of traffic incidents and farm disturbances linked to the animals. A national deer management strategy is currently being rolled out, with Declan Gillan recently appointed as deer management unit coordinator for Donegal. The Donegal author and ambassador to Harvey's Point Hotel said he could have been seriously injured in the collision.
And thankfully, a county council lorry coming the other way wasn't too close, because had it been, as one of the young gentlemen in the county council lorry said, if they had been a little bit closer, the deer would have been trapped and probably gone through my window, because it would have tried to escape. As it happened, it just took the side out of my car. And my sister had had a similar experience a couple of years ago, and my niece wrote off her beautiful car last year. And she was extremely lucky that it wasn't more serious. So I had no understanding of how frightening it is until it actually happens to oneself. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. I just got a terrible fright.
Over 550 landlords have left the private rental sector in the past year. At the end of September, there were more than 103,700 landlords registered with the Residential Tenancies Board, 123 of which have more than 100 tenancies. The latest RTB report shows 61% of tenancy terminations in between July and September were due to the landlords' plans to sell the property. RTB Director Rosemary Steen says it's not having too much of an impact on supply.
Larger landlords are becoming a bigger part of the market in Dublin, and that means that there is a reduction in the total number of landlords. So we do see about 166 landlords of smaller tenancies owning one property in this basket, in this quarter, deciding that they wish to sell. We've always had landlords entering and leaving the sector. It's just at this stage more of that impact is being felt regionally.
Donegal County Council has confirmed it has submitted claims to the government totalling over €850,000, seeking reimbursement for money spent on the maintenance of social housing units suspected of being affected by defective concrete blocks. The issue was raised by Councillor Brian Carr, who says it's wrong that his money is coming out of the council's own housing budget, while the government still hasn't provided a remediation scheme for social homes. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Responding to Councillor Carr's question, officials told him that to date the Social Housing Remediation Team has carried out essential immediate repairs to 212 social homes to a total value of €865,047, primarily in the Inishowen and Letterkenny municipal districts. Claims have been submitted to the Department of Housing, and the Council is anticipating recoupment of those monies once the scheme for remediation of social homes is in place. Other essential immediate repair works are currently ongoing and planned, including essential immediate repairs on further social homes. Claims for the costs of those works will also be submitted to the department. Meanwhile, on foot of a motion from Councillor Jack Murray, the council is to write to the Housing Minister James Brown, noting the recent extension of the pyrite remediation scheme for homeowners affected by pyritic heave in Dublin and Leinster. The letter calls on the government to deliver the same redress to all victims of the defective concrete scandal and urgently introduce a genuinely 100% redress scheme.
A rise in young people from Donegal seeking out mental health support is indicative of higher levels of distress than before the COVID pandemic. From January to October of last year, 555 young people sought support. That figure jumped to 744 for the same time this year, an increase of 34%. Donegal native Rachel White, campaign officer for Jigsaw, says it's beyond seasonal peaks and troughs.
I think there is a lot of different reasons why we can't see that spike. It's going back to school, maybe you're starting your leaving cert year. That can be something that's really stressful. Maybe you're starting college, maybe you've moved away, which is, there's so many different things that can kind of come into a young person's life. Again, as you said, maybe they were kind of enjoying themselves this summer, they'd had their summer job, and these kind of supports get taken away. They kind of, maybe they're not that into going to school, they're not enjoying it, and it's something that they go back to. But this is, even kind of with that general seasonal spike that goes on, this is still something, like, since we started in 2006, this has been the highest ever. And, like, that is a really marked increase. It's strictly marketed in Donegal as well.
The Dáil's been told there's been a 55% increase in the cost of some staple supermarket items in the last 3 years. The Social Democrats' finance spokesperson says the cost of living is still an issue and the food regulator needs more powers to investigate pricing. Deputy Cian O'Callaghan's calling on the Taoiseach to protect the public's interest over rising prices.
Taoiseach, parents are eating less and skipping meals so their children can eat. Pensioners are cutting back on heating and living in fear of the weekly shop. They deserve answers. They deserve transparency. So, Taoiseach, will you stop protecting profiteers and start protecting the public? And when will you give the food regulator the powers it needs to stop price gouging?
Taoiseach Simon Harris says he is aware of the cost of living crisis and it is very real for many families across the country.
It's why government has taken a number of measures to protect the most vulnerable, including a very significant increase in the working family payment, expansion of the fuel allowance, the permanent reduction of the VAT rate on energy bills, but also the fact that the Christmas bonus, which is paid to pensioners, people with disabilities, factually the most vulnerable people from an income point of view, will also be paid in the coming days.
A centre in Donegal for adults with disabilities was found to be compliant in a HICWA report published today. There were two residents present in Fiona House during the unannounced inspection in August. Residents' rights were found to be substantially compliant, while the remainder were fully compliant. The residents said they felt supported and that they could raise concerns they had freely. The Housing Minister says older people should never feel pressured to downsize their homes. It comes as Bank of Ireland is set to launch a pilot scheme to allow people to buy a smaller house before closing the sale of their current property. The trade-down loan is aimed at older people whose children have moved out. Minister for Housing James Brown is welcoming the move.
In many cases, they do want to, if you like, trade down, get into a smaller property, but they want to do it in their own local community, where they have all their family, their friends, their community and their services. So I'm very careful to ensure that we have older people feel they have those options under no pressure. If they want to stay in their home, absolutely. I think we need to support that as well and facilitate older people to be able to do that.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is coming up to 16 minutes past five. Mark's here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. Donegal will learn of their opponents in the first round of the Ulster Championship for 2026 this evening. The provincial championship draws will take place on the GAA social channels from 7 o'clock. Next year, Jimmy Guinness's side will chase the Anglo-South Cup for a third year in a row, something never achieved by a Donegal team before. Donegal, Derry, Monaghan and Cavan are exempt from the preliminary round draw, so two of Antrim, Armagh, Down, Fermanagh and Tyrone will therefore meet in the province's open. Donegal's Ray McHugh says winning three Ulster titles in a row is a feat only the best teams of certain eras achieve.
The three in a row, it's something that we've gone up against, I suppose, you know, from our point of view, a couple of times. You know, I think when I came into the squad first, 2013, they were going for three in a row, and then we were going for three in a row again in 2020. So haven't gone over the line, as you touched on, no team has, you know, and it's definitely not an easy thing. You're talking some of the best teams to ever play the game are the only teams to achieve stuff like that, the great Armagh teams, the great Tyrone teams, and I think there's a Cavan team way back in the early time, you know. So it's not an easy fit, so it's not. So it's going to be a huge task. But again, it's something you want to be doing as a footballer, you know. Thankfully, getting to play in a Donegal jersey at the minute, you're competing at a very high level. You're competing in Division 1, so you are. You're competing for Ulster titles, and hopefully we can go on to compete for an Ireland title. So that's what you want to be doing as a footballer, is competing at the highest level. And thankfully, at the minute, we're getting the chance to do that.
The ATU Donegal men's Gaelic footballers won the Higher Education Division 2 league title last night. The Letterkenny-based college beat SETU Carlow 20 points to 212 in Ballymacnab in County Armagh to take the title. ATU were 299 points down at half-time but proved to be the better side in the second period, outscoring their opponents 11 points to 3. Well, we'll be talking with the ATU manager Maxi Curran on this evening's score programme after the 7 o'clock news. We'll also be speaking with ATU Freshers manager Ryan McHugh, whose side also progressed to a league final this week. Also coming up on the show, Mickey McCann will look ahead to the Burt Hurlers trip to London on Saturday in the Twinning Cup final. And we'll be talking to Rory Kennedy to look forward to the Killarney Historic Rally on Saturday. That is all part of The Score, the final one of the season after the 7 o'clock news this evening. In other action for ATU Donegal later, the Ladies Gaelic footballers play MTU Cork in the Division 2 League semi-final. That game is being played at the Connacht Centre of Excellence in Mayo. Mayo. Throw-in is at 7 o'clock. Moving on to soccer, Shelburne manager Joey O'Brien has urged his players to have a real cut at AZ Alkmaar in the Conference League this evening. Shells are hoping to get their campaign back on track after suffering a 1-0 loss to Drita in their most recent match in the league phase. In form, Republic of Ireland striker Troy Parrott is set to lead the line for Alkmaar. That game is at 5:45. Shamrock Rovers boss Stephen Bradley admits they'll need a special night at Talla Stadium if they're to overcome Shakhtar Donetsk. The Hoops haven't played a game since overcoming Cork City in the FAI Cup final earlier this month, and Bradley admits they'll need a number of factors to go their way if they are to pick up their first win of the league phase.
Yeah, we need everything if it to go on, get a positive result. We're against a top team. We need everything to go our way. We need to be at the top for a game. Our levels need to be up. We need a little bit of luck, and we need that energy from the crowd. And, if we get all that, we know we can get special nights in Talla.
Kickoff in Talla is at 8 o'clock. In the Europa League this evening, Aston Villa can pick up their fourth win of the league phase. They host Young Boys at Villa Park with kickoff at 5:45. At the same time, Evan Ferguson could start for Roma in their hosting of Danish club Midtjylland, and Celtic are on the road to face Robin van Persie's Feyenoord. At 8 o'clock, Nottingham Forest welcome Malmo to the City Ground. And locally tonight, there's one game in the Ulster Cup. Castlefin Celtic host Letterkenny Rovers from 7:45. Liverpool boss Arne Slot says he has the backing of the club's hierarchy despite their run of poor form. The Premier League champions have lost 9 of their last 12 games in all competitions, their worst run since 1954.
Yeah, we've had the same conversations as we've had since I'm here. And we fight on. We try to improve. That's what we all try. But the conversations have been the same as they've been for the past 1.5 years.
The Dutchman led the Merseysiders to just their second title in the Premier League era last season. Finally for now, in rugby, Ireland fullback Hugo Keenan says he was very frustrated to have to sit out the November internationals. Keenan started for the Lions in all three of their test matches in the series win over Australia, but was then forced to go under the knife to fix a long-standing hip issue. The 29-year-old had hoped to return for Leinster next month, but he's more likely to be back on the pitch in the new year. He says it's important not to rush the recovery and risk further injury.
Coming from the celebrations and huge highs of a tour into surgery over in London brings you back down to earth pretty quickly, but it all went well. It's a bit slower and longer than I had hoped for, but it's more of a case of just getting it right when you do it, and fully taking the time for everything to heal and making sure that you've made it the right decision.
That is all your sports news for today, but don't forget to tune in for our last score program of the year between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather, blustery or windy for the rest of today with scattered showers. Fresh to strong and gusty southwest winds will reach near gale or gale force near the coast. Windy or very windy tonight, especially near the coast. The night will bring a mix of clear spells and scattered showers, some of them heavy with a chance of hail and isolated thunderstorms. Low temperatures of 5 to 8 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, the case of Donegal man Michael Leonard, who was killed by the RUC in 1973, has been raised in the Dáil. The 24-year-old died near the Donegal Fermanagh border. A fresh inquest was sought last year after new evidence in the case emerged. A police officer required stitches to his leg after he was stabbed while responding to a call in Derry this morning. Three other officers and a custody detention officer were also assaulted during the course of apprehending two aggressive males who have been arrested on suspicion of a number of offences, including attempted murder. A pedestrian was hospitalised following a collision in Ballybuffet yesterday. It happened on Main Street at approximately 25 past 7. The man in his 60s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. And Noel Cunningham says he is thankful the outcome wasn't worse after his car collided with a deer near Glenties yesterday. There have long been calls for deer to be culled across Donegal due to the high number of traffic incidents and farm disturbances linked to the animals. A national deer management strategy is currently being rolled out, with Declan Gillen recently appointed as deer management unit coordinator for Donegal. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with headlines at 6 o'clock.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll hear from Donegal IFA Chair Joe Sweeney about the vote in Donegal this week for the position of IFA Ulster North Leinster Chair, and how the IFA President Francie Gorman is going by tractor all the way to Brussels for a protest. I'll also be hearing about the new organic scheme. Firstly, the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny was the venue earlier this week for the election hustings event, as the race hots up to see who will be the next IFA Ulster North Leinster chairperson. So two people in the running: Maurice Brady, the current IFA County Cavan chair, up against his Louth counterpart, Kevin Sweeney. And they are seeking to replace the outgoing chairperson, Monaghan pig farmer Frank Brady. Well, Joe Sweeney, from a Donegal perspective, this was an opportunity for people to go along, hear the two candidates. And just to point out, this is a very important position and one that is taken very seriously.
It is, Chris. And as you said, it gave people a chance to come out. People did. There was probably over 120 in the room, and there was probably about 80, in and around 80, cast votes. They heard the topics being discussed, the Mercosur, the TB issues, the deer cull, the cut in the sheep and the suckler payments from the minister. They were all discussed, the new cap as well. Then the voting took place, and the count is in Dublin on the 2nd. The next hustings is tonight in Monaghan. That's the last hustings for the region, Monaghan tonight.
Now, seven county executives in the region: Cavan, Donegal, Longford, Louth, Meath, Monaghan and Westmeath. And whoever comes through, I suppose they're one further link in the chain between the grassroots and IFA HQ in Dublin. And it's an important person to be able to liaise with.
They're the link. They're the people that bring all the issues from each of them counties to what they call NOC, which is the National Officers Committee. So there's four NOC members on the final panel that make the decisions, along with the Director General and the President and Elaine Farrell. So there's seven of them on that grouping, and there's one from every region. And whoever is elected at count next week, they're the person that will represent Ulster North Leinster for the next 4 years.
Joe, there is a protest coming up in Brussels in the coming weeks. The IFA President Francie Gorman is going there. He's heading off by tractor, and you will be amongst those hoping to see him in Brussels to show your support. So what exactly is happening?
Yeah, well, there's a National Council meeting in Dublin on Monday the 15th. And at that meeting, Francie, our president, is leaving by tractor from the farm centre at 12 o'clock. He's driving to the Ross Lair, he's getting the boat across, and he's driving the tractor to Brussels to be part of that protest. And then all the national committee members and the chairs that make up the National Council, all the National Council members are going on the 18th to Brussels for that protest. So we're all in Brussels for the protest on the 18th. There's two things going on. It's the new cap and the Mercosur. They're the things that are going on. The nitrous derogation may be sorted before that. We're not sure. There's to be an announcement on the 9th. I don't know if it's going to happen on the 9th or if it's going to be pushed back to the beginning of January. But there's certainly going to be, there's like the rest of Europe, there's going to be there in Brussels on the 18th, and we're going to be part of that. So it's going to be a tough sort of a day. It's from 5 in the morning till back in Dublin again late that night. So it'll be a heavy day.
And that was the Donegal IFA Chair, Joe Sweeney. Well, the organic farming scheme is now open for applications and will continue until Friday the 12th of December. And tillage farmers will receive priority entry under the new round. To find out more about this, I'm joined by Rachel Donovan, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Rachel, the interest seems to have increased in recent years. No doubt there'll be a lot of applications this time around again.
Yeah, there will, Chris. And as you mentioned there, this time around, there's going to be priority entry for tillage farmers, and we'll explain that. Yeah, applications are open and farmers are encouraged to apply to be involved in the scheme from the 1st of January 2026. The number of farmers, Chris, in the organic scheme has actually jumped by 221% over the last 5 years. So there has been a huge drive there from, I suppose, the department to encourage farmers and to support farmers to produce more organic food, and from farmers themselves looking to maybe diversify their enterprises. And over the last number of years, I suppose before this year, Chris, the price of cattle definitely wasn't as good. This was a record year. So farmers were kind of looking for something different. And up to this, you'd have seen a lot of dry stock farmers and sheep farmers in particular moving into organic. So the minister has said that this time around he's going to give priority access to tillage farmers, and that he's particularly interested in farmers growing organic oats. And he says that there is, I suppose, an increase in demand for oats, particularly in the UK, led by the UK market, and a growing interest from international markets. And these include Southeast Asia as well. The other thing then, Chris, is the need for more organic feed on the market. So a lot of farmers will know if they're trying to feed organic cattle, it's very, very hard to get your hands on any sort of, or whether you're a dairy farmer producing organic milk, the price of organic feed is through the roof. You know, you're talking about the guts of €1,000 a tonne for dairy nuts compared to, you know, €400 or €500 max there for what you pay for conventional feed.
Now, the fact that the state is putting up almost €60 million for this scheme shows that it is quite substantial. At an individual level, is there a cap on what farmers can get?
Yeah, so farmers can enter the scheme. They can, so say, for instance, if you're tillage on beef, you can keep your tillage conventional, or you can just go organic and convert your livestock end of it. So there's different routes there that farmers can take.
Now, if this funding hadn't been there, we don't know just how big an increase there would have been in the number of farmers going down the organic route. But it certainly is getting more and more popular, as you mentioned there, for a number of reasons. And certainly going forward, one would expect that we're going to see big numbers again this year and indeed in the future.
Yeah, for sure. So there was 58.6 million announced for the organic scheme in the budget there in October for budget 2026.
And Rachel, is it fairly straightforward, the whole application process?
It's relatively straightforward. The farmers can do it themselves, or they can get their advisor to apply for them through the department's website.
And that was Rachel Donovan, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Now on to some other news, and the MACRA AgAware Northwest Roadshow will take place tomorrow, that's Friday, November the 28th at 7:30 in the Sligo Park Hotel, with updates on key issues facing young farmers, ranging from TB and derogation to generational renewal. Also, a date for the diary, Wednesday the 3rd of December at 7 o'clock in the meeting room at the Inishowen Co-op in Carndonagh. There's a sheep event. It's been hosted by Teagasc in conjunction with Inishowen Co-op there. And there'll be a number of topics to be discussed, including parasites and winter minerals, market forecast and price trends. There'll be an update on sheep schemes and also new veterinary medicine changes. Speakers will include Alinta Craft of the Carn Vet Clinic, Martin Merrick of the Irish Farmers Journal, James Strain of Inishowen Co-op, and Seamus Campbell of Teagasc. That's next Wednesday, the 3rd of December. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, November 27th. The death has taken place of Michael Byrne, Upper Glasa, Gador, formerly of Mallow, County Cork, Thurles, County Tipperary, and originally from Navan, County Meath. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, tomorrow from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. Removal from the funeral home on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. to St. Colmkill's Church, Crookfalla, for 11 a.m. funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam. Family home private, please. The death has taken place of Michael Joseph Lynch, Bracky, Ardra, formerly of Coothill, County Cavan. Reposing at McCabe's Funeral Home, Ardra, today until 10 p.m. House private, please. Funeral mass on Saturday in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Galway Hospice. The death has taken place of Sean Donnelly, Milltown, Dublin, and formerly of Cathedral Place, Letterkenny. Sean's remains will be reposing at his brother Leo's residence at Cathedral Place, Letterkenny today until 10 p.m. with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral tomorrow in St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 11 a.m. This can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards at New Lake Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of John Flanagan, Cullacrick, Annagree, and formerly of White Rock, Belfast. His remains will repose at his home in Cullacrick until 8 p.m. this evening, and tomorrow from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. John's cremation will take place at Roselawn Crematorium, Belfast, on Saturday at 11:20 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Irish Kidney Association and to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Pat Carlin, 19 Garfter Road, Castlederg. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in St. Patrick's Church, Castlederg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight. The death has occurred of Paul McSorley, 61 Lonsdale, Navaney, Ballybuffet. Paul will be reposing at his late residence until 10 p.m. this evening and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Leaving his residence on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass will be live via the parish YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.